There are many things on my mind as I share my thoughts with you this morning. I stand in this spot because Old South Church has entered into its stewardship season. We think now about the financial support each one of us will pledge to the work of the church over the next 12 months. Frankly, I personally marvel at the chutzpah it takes to ask church people for money. Chutzpah is a difficult word to define directly, for me anyway. So let me share a definition through a simple story. A little old lady sells pretzels on a street corner for 25 cents each. Every day, a young man leaves his office building at lunchtime, and as he passes the pretzel stand, he leaves her a quarter, but he never takes a pretzel. They never exchange a word. This goes on for more than 3 years. One day, as the young man passes the pretzel stand and leaves his quarter, the pretzel lady finally speaks to him. Sir, I appreciate your business. You're a really good customer. But I have to tell you something. The price of pretzels has gone up. Chutzpah. Allow me to practice a little chutzpah for a few minutes. I've been giving for several years now to Old South Church. My strategy is always, how do I manage to increase my giving? Here are my reasons for thinking that way. Then I'll tell you how I managed to do just that. As many of you know, I'm a small town girl. I recently checked the population and found that my hometown is a micropolitan area in St. Mary Parish, Louisiana. That should tell you everything you need to know about my origin story. I come from a line of church people going back generations. In that small town environment, I rarely met anybody who wasn't also a member of a church. Not everybody went to church, mind you, but everybody claimed Jesus. Even the most flawed in our community had a stake in that ground. And everybody had a testimony about the power of God in their life. Healing, salvation, mercy, grace. These were the spoken testimonies of those who knew Jesus. I lay that ability to testify at the feet of the black women who spoke faith to their families. An encounter with them meant you had better be able to give your testimony at the drop of a hat. Abraham Lincoln once said, "A woman is the only thing I'm afraid of that I know won't hurt me." Abraham Lincoln was a smart man. Faith became a tangible thing for us. Included in its installation by our families were lessons on behaviors that pleased or displeased God. As children and adults, we were praised and congratulated for good fortune as testament to God's blessings. And when our flaws became apparent, God's grace became the foundation for staying power as we built relationships. Dr. King had the same kind of upbringing I did. That's why he was loved so dearly, in particular, in the black community. As a preacher, he spoke the message of love. He spoke it as a method and a kind of secret code to enable and ennoble all that life threw in our path, even if that included days of humiliation and threats of danger. Dr. King told us we were worth it. We knew that ourselves, but it was Preacher King who brought that message out to the public square. He made us so proud. He helped us draw new lines in the sand based on signals from other oppressed people. Gandhi said, I will not let anyone walk through my mind with their dirty feet. MLK Day reminds us that race hatred is sin. It's dirty feet. Such thinking is ripe for transformative love. Did you ever wonder about what kind of financial support powered the civil rights movement? Dr. King did not die a rich man. He earned $8,000 a year. And during his life, he bought discounted suits. When he moved into the slums of 1960s Chicago and had to face women with babies wrapped in newspaper to keep them warm and temperatures below zero, where do you think that money came from for the coal needed to be put in furnaces? Where did that money come from? There's a song called Up to the Mountain, written in reference to Dr. King's last sermon, when he spoke about God allowing him to go to the mountaintop to let him know that black people would get to the promised land. The song goes like this. I went up to the mountain because you asked me to, up over the clouds to where the sky was blue. I could see all around me everywhere. Sometimes I feel like I've never been nothing but tired. And I'll be walking all the day till I expire. Sometimes I lay down, no more can I do. But then I go on again because you asked me to. Some days I look down, afraid I will fall. And though the sun shines, I see nothing at all. Then I hear your sweet voice, oh, come and then go, telling me softly, you love me so. The peaceful valley just over the mountain, the peaceful valley, few come to know. I may never get there ever in this lifetime, but sooner or later, it's there I will go, sooner or later. A song about the disciple of love. You know, I sometimes forget that when Dr. King started his journey on civil rights, he was only 25 years old. Love is powerful and transformative, especially for this family of man, agape love. I think about our MICA fund at Old South as one way we steward our own justice work. It takes money. What's the source of money when we buy the socks against the cold for the homeless, or when we fight for affordable housing or provide the space for sanctuary? During stewardship season, when I think about how much I'm going to give, I think about how the church always played a part in pushing back against that which was morally objectionable. Dr. King often quoted a poem by William Cowper, an English poet and abolitionist, who was a friend to John Newton, the man who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, after he stopped being a slave trader. It was Cowper who gave us the line, God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. The poem Dr. King liked was written in 1788, entitled The Negro's Complaint. In part, it reads, forced from home to increase a stranger's treasure, men from England bought and sold me, paid my price in paltry gold. Question, when does money become paltry? What does it have to come up against to put it in that category? When it comes up against racism, homophobia, anti-Semitism, anti-immigration, anti-Muslim, when I'm all over how I'm going to increase my giving, I think about all the work this church does. We feed the hungry so that they are not only faceless and nameless percentages in some state budget, but flesh and marrow and bone. I think about our pilgrimages to Montgomery, Alabama, as one aspect of our anti-racism agenda. I think about our work on climate change. I think about the council and how carefully monitored church finances are. And you believe me when I tell you that every dollar is carefully considered as to its use. Church Council is filled with outstanding financial stewards. I grew up in a place where people believe themselves to serve as proxies for Jesus in meeting the needs of those who looked to the church. Pennies for that were not going to fall from heaven, yet pennies were needed. It's like the time in the Bible when the disciples went to Jesus to tell him that the crowd following him was hungry and they were in a deserted place. Their solution? Send the people away so that they could go and buy food. Jesus' response was, you feed them. He told them, you feed them. Now, can't you hear the disciples just saying, uh-huh? It's like, who, me? Yes, we, the church, need to feed. When I think over how I'm going to increase my giving, I think about that saying, if God puts a Goliath in front of you, he must believe there's a David inside of you. And I found my inner David. I know that I must act as a Christian would and not be the example that George Bernard Shaw described in one of his lectures when a clergyman in the audience stood up and said, are you a Christian? And Shaw responded, oh yeah, but I feel lonely sometimes. I'm happy to say I don't have the sense of being without Christian examples that Shaw had. I have Reverend and Mrs. Crawford. I think what a conversation they must have had when he decided to ride those school buses with those black kids who dealt with thrown rocks and the venom of racist shouts. And she, his partner, stood in faith and prayer and let him go. What a partnership that must be. Or Vard and Ruth, man and woman of faith and action around issues of immigration and meeting the challenges of ethics within those issues. Or Charlotte, tackling the issues of the incarcerated, or Mary Ann on climate change. June and Tracy, leading the charge against racism. Betty and Elizabeth, helping us to honor our dead. When I see Vard using the corridors of MGH to get from point A to point B, and he's deep in thought, not even conscious of his surroundings, I say to myself, look at that vessel of the Holy Spirit. And then I think of all the other vessels I've mentioned, and there are more sitting right here. I bet you can name them too. How do I know you can name others? Because this is a teaching church. Reverend Nancy Taylor has a sort of genius for picking people to develop their gifts. I'm an example of an opportunity to lead and learn. I'll share a secret with you. If you want to make me weak in the knees or watch my brain short circuit, all you have to do is mention two words, parliamentary procedure. And I blank. So when you see me braced on my right by Larry Bowers and on my left by Rob Gabler, you see two vessels that supply me with the knowledge I need to help take care of the business of the church. Bless them both. In his reflection, Larry said that mystery can bring epiphany. And there's truth in that. When Thursday Bible study comes around and Sean lets us air our questions and lets our faith rise, there is enlightenment. So you, vessels of the Holy Spirit yourselves, think of your particular examples and renew yourself in your faith. My reflections during stewardship season are a way for me to let my faith catch fire. Dr. King said, faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase. And I need inspiration to do that. At these times, I start to hymn my faith. This is when I see God on the throne of my faith. Now is when being pragmatic stands toe to toe with the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. This is when I remember how vivid we are to Jesus. Yes, the hymn goes, God is real. God is real in my soul. And another hymn declares, I am so satisfied with my Savior. He means more to me than anything that this world can offer. Now, with the loss of our brother in Christ, Evan Shue, I hymn my faith when I can sing one of these days. It won't be very long. You look for me, and I'll be gone. I'm going to a place where there's nothing to do but walk around heaven all day. Every day will be Sunday. Sabbath will have no end. I'll just walk around heaven all day. And when I hem my faith, I'm happy to give, withholding nothing. And it's easy. I've shared what motivates me to give. Let me share how I'm going to make that happen this year. First, it works for me that my giving happens through automatic withdrawals from my bank account. I don't have to think about it. It's a habit, and it happens automatically as part of my household budget. Through this long-standing process, I've demonstrated to myself, that year after year, I can live a good life without a sense that my giving is some kind of burden. So for me, when I think about how to manage my increase, I'm only figuring out how adding another $10 or $20 a week is going to affect my household budget. I don't use what I'm already giving as my reference point. I work from the level of how I'm going to increase. This year, I'm going to decrease what I am billed by Eversource. I'm going to turn off some lights and use fewer light bulbs in my apartment where there are hallways and double lamps and all of this kind of stuff. I like light. I can't wait to see this little experiment, what it's going to produce. One year, I stopped going to Starbucks, and it was amazing how much money I saved. Another year, I decided to use Zipcar less. So no miraculous tactics, just a goal, a pledge, an act of faith. So I'll pledge this year, just as I always do. I'll give my testimony, I'll sing my faith, and I'll be a lamp, as the poet suggests, or a light for boat or a ladder. I'll try to help someone's soul to heal. And hear me. I will walk out of my house like a shepherd. Amen? Amen. Amen.